All who came before me are thieves and robbers. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. With great joy, Andra. Thank you. Yes. Yes. This is what our faith is. And so today we celebrate this Alleluia for many reasons. Many reasons today. But today especially because today is Good Shepherd Sunday. The gospel is all about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the last line of that gospel is key. What is it? What is the last line that you just heard? It's only a few seconds ago. What was it? It's right in front of you in your books. You can read it. Oh, no, no, the last line of the gospel. What does it say there? It says, I have come so that you might have and have it more abundantly. Abundantly. That is what our Good Shepherd is all about. Think about it. What Jesus says there is he says, all those others who came before me, all those other people who came before me, like the Pharisees, like the Sadducees, like those scribes, all those religious rulers. He's talking about all your politicians, all your rulers, everybody, the kings who tried to usurp God's authority in his life, trying to take the place of the shepherd. Each one of them, why did they come? He says they came to steal, to kill or slaughter, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and to have it more abundantly, to have abundant life. So often when people come to Jesus, when they come to faith, when they think about coming back to the Eucharist, coming back to Mass, they think Jesus just wants to destroy me. He wants to harm me. When I step in there and I put my finger into that holy water thing, it's just going to bubble up and the whole thing is going to collapse. That's what they think. But Jesus says something different. He says the exact opposite. He says, when you come to me, you have a life. Not just regular life, not just humdrum life, not that average living. He says, I want you to have life abundantly. Abundant life. Which means life that's coming out the wazoo, life that is full life, an attractive, a joy-filled life, more life than you yourself could ever know what to do with. That's what he wants to put into you. And this is the sign of the Christian. This is the sign of the Catholic. And the Catholic, the one who knows God, the one who knows that God loves them, it says that the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus, those who are the sheep of the Good Shepherd, are more alive than anyone else in the whole world. They're more alive. If somebody is going around and they're more dead than anyone else, if they're more worried about their sinfulness, if they are only focused upon themselves, if they are always complaining and stealing life from other people by sharing gossips and things like that, then I don't care how often it is that they come to Mass. I don't care how many hours they spend on their knees praying their rosary or doing any of their devotions. They are not sheep of the Good Shepherd because they don't have life. And it's not flowing out from them. Jesus said what? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, said, I have come that y'all might have life and have it in abundance. An abundance of life flowing from you. And so the first thing that we need to do, brothers and sisters, is to ask ourselves, am I a man or am I a woman of life? Do I have abundant life more than anybody else? Or am I just sort of getting by, skating by? Am I just putting in my time so that I can make it to the end of the day? Am I running out the clock? That's not what life that Jesus has called us to live is. You know, sometimes what happens is we do get depressed. We get depressed. Everything seems really horrible for a long period of time. And I understand that. I get that way sometimes too. I get that. I experience it. But if it's a biological thing, then what we need is professional help. I'm not talking about that. But more often than not, when we have that lack of life flowing out within us, we don't have the life that Jesus wants to give us, the reason is because we're focused on the wrong things. We're not focused on the right things. We're focused upon ourselves or upon our own sinfulness. We're focused upon that one bad thing that just happened or that trend that seems to be going downward. We're focused on what people are saying about us instead of being focused on what the Good Shepherd is saying about us. The second reading that Richard just gave for us says it. The second reading from St. Peter reminds us that what? Read it in front of you if you want. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross so that, freed from sin, we might live for righteousness. And then it says the great line that everybody knows, for by his wounds you have been healed. Jesus' wounds heal us. Jesus' wounds restore us to his friendship. And if that's true, then why do we think that we need to work out our own salvation on our own, that we need to earn our salvation by ourselves? We say, oh no, I need to suffer more. That's why my life is going so wrong. Or I need to pray harder. No, it's not about praying harder. It's about praying more often. It's about spending more time listening to God, spending more time with the Lord, listening to his voice, letting our God warrior fight the battle for us. And as we just cling to his victory that he won for us on the cross, that is the life of the Christian, clinging to his victory. Because what does it say at the very end of that second reading? Memorize it, know it, and live it. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, he is the guardian of our souls. Christ is the guardian of your soul. And if you allow him to do that and you cling to his victory, you will have that abundant life. The purpose of our lives is what? Is focusing on the shepherd, not on ourselves. That's the key to Christian living. Now, we don't need to beat up on ourselves. Why? Because Jesus was beaten up for us. It isn't about just hitching our ride to his wagon, letting him lead, responding to Jesus' lead. What happens to a sheep? Y'all know about sheep. What happens to a sheep that wanders off on its own apart from the flock and goes its own way? What happens to it? In a few moments, it's eaten by a coyote. They know when that sheep goes away, they pull it off and they kill it because a sheep can't defend itself on its own. Well, we're supposed to be God's sheep. When a sheep is focused upon the shepherd, it's always safe. And Christ, the good shepherd, what does he do for his sheep? Lays down his life for them. Lays down his life so that they can have a knowledge of his joy. And that should be the source of our joy, brothers and sisters. The thing that which gives us life, the fact that we know that the creator of the universe, of everything that you see and all those things that you can't see, he created it, and yet he loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. That should be the source of your joy. The second thing that we need to recognize is that we need to be a people who listen to the voice of the shepherd. Know his voice. That means that we need to spend time in prayer with God constantly, each and every day and at every moment. An example, like when I, even without caller ID, I know immediately when it is that my mom is calling me. I know immediately it's her. Not because any words that she says, which she always starts it out with some beautiful phrase from scripture or something. It's not because of that. It's because I hear her voice. I know her voice. I recognize it immediately that it's her. Because that was the same voice that for 9 months within the womb calmed me. That's the same voice that used to yell at me to go clean my room or to do whatever task that she wanted me to do. I know that voice. That's the voice that tells me each and every day when she gets to speak with me, I've always loved you. I've given my life. I've given my life out of love for you. And I will always love you. That's the voice of the mother. I recognize the voice of my mother instantly because I know her love. Now, do you? Do you recognize the voice of those who love you, whom you love? Well, if you recognize the voice of those who love, so if you love Jesus, if you spend time with Jesus, then you should know when it is that he is speaking to you and recognize that any other voice isn't his, so it's not the one you should listen to. If you have a really good prayer life, if you're spending time in prayer, then you should know when it is that the shepherd is talking to you, when it is that the world is talking to you, when it is your own sinful flesh which is talking to you, when it is the devil himself who is speaking to you. Because you recognize the voice of the shepherd. We get that in prayer. We get that familiarity with God's voice when we pray. Now this week, I'll tell you an example from my own life. This week, I wasn't feeling particularly great. I was feeling actually quite bad because some people were accusing me of stuff that never happened. Accusing me of things that never even occurred to me, even here in this parish, accusing me of things. And so that brought me down. It got me, it hurt me. It made my whole world in many ways just sort of go down. But then on Thursday, I had an opportunity, a rare opportunity, to spend a good portion of the day with my little nephew, Riker. Not you, Riker. My little nephew, Riker. He's younger than you. A 4-year-old boy. And so what we did was we played before dinner. We hung out this whole time doing crazy things that we do. He wanted me to sit next to him for dinner so that we could hang out more there and I could help him eat. He even asked his mom afterwards, "Hey, can Uncle Father Christopher put me to bed?" And she agreed. So that's what I did. We brushed our teeth together. We put on our jammies. We got everything ready, slipped into bed, laid down there, and I read him 2 Bible stories from his favorite Bible book, just laying there with his head snugly upon my chest the whole time. There he was. And what happened next was the thing that I remember, and it changed my life, really, I hope, forever. This is what he said to me. His actual words from a little 4-year-old boy. Little Riker said, "I want you to sleep with me all night long." And after he realized that, I said, "Well, I really got to get back to Vaughn. I can't stay here all night." And he said, "Okay. Well, if you don't want to sleep with me all night, we've got the room next door, the guest room. You can stay there. That way we can have breakfast together." And then a little bit later, he said to me, "Father, I wish that you were my priest. I wish that you were my priest so that we could have this Bible time every day." And then the last thing, which is the kicker, which he said to me. He said, "I wish that my dad wasn't my dad and that you were my dad, married to my mom." By the way, that's my sister. By the way, that's my sister. "So that we could do this every night." Now, he doesn't hate his dad. He loves his dad dearly. But what he meant by that was, "I want you to be with me all the time. I want you to be here with me always." And after that, and after this little 4-year-old Riker said this thing to me, there's nothing that y'all could ever say against me that could shake my faith, that could do anything to me, because this little guy who I love above all things and have prayed for his entire life and even before, showed me that at least to him, I do at least a little bit that's great in his eyes. Now the thing is, I know that it wasn't little Riker who was saying those things to me. Yes, those were his words. Those were his words that he was speaking. But I think what was happening, because of his childlike innocence, this little Riker was listening to the voice of the shepherd. And that God was speaking through this little boy to me these encouragements that I very much needed to hear. The message was, "Father, don't listen to the voices of those who are inspired by the devil. Don't listen to them. The devil, he is the one who is the great stealer of life, the great robber of peace." And about those complainers, about those accusers, Jesus said, "They have come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To take my abundant life away from you, to rob you of my peace." Jesus said, "Listen to me instead, to my opinion of you. They've come to destroy you, but I've come so that you might have life and to have it abundantly flowing from you." See, the problem was that I was focused upon myself, upon the voices of bad, evil people. I lost sight of the shepherd and of where he was, but he found me anyway. Because the shepherd always goes after the sheep. Brothers and sisters, to be truly Catholic, what we have to do is to focus upon the good shepherd and to listen only to his voice, which we know through prayer. So getting practical, What I want you to do this week is I want you to think about your prayer life. Think about the way in which you pray. Is it other-centered, meaning is it focused on Christ? Or is it focused only upon yourself? Is it focused on thinking only about your own sinfulness and your own unworthiness? Or is it grateful for the fact that he paid the price for love of you, the good shepherd? When you spend your time with the Lord, when you pray, what is it like? Maybe you say, well, Father, all I do is I just rattle off my prayers. I have my prayers. Okay, fine. That's great. Say those prayers. Those are good prayers. But eventually your mouth shuts, right? Hopefully. And at that moment, that's when the prayer really begins. What happens then? What goes on at that moment? Think about when you pray. Think about when you pray about how you spend your time with the Good Shepherd. About how you deal with your own sinfulness. And if it isn't leading you to abundant life, to abundant living, you gotta ask yourself, what needs to change? What needs to change in my life? And the answer is this in three steps. Stop focusing upon yourself. And start focusing rather upon the Good Shepherd. Secondly, to remember that God is a warrior God, a warrior shepherd who redeemed you by his blood. And to have a grateful heart for all the amazing things that he's done for you. And the third thing is to listen to his voice in prayer. Come to know his voice in prayer and let all those demonic voices drift away just like the winds that pass through our town. Off into the distance, never to return. And if you do that, if you allow yourself to listen to the voice of the shepherd and stay focused upon him, you will have that life abundant, life to the full. You'll be more alive than anybody else who's around you, and you'll show them what it's like to have a shepherd who is a warrior. As it says in the letter of St. Peter, the guardian of your souls. That's abundant life, the life which Christ has intended for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.